Well, I'm going to share something today. I believe it'll bless you, it blessed me, and this, you know, sometimes you just need to follow what the Holy Ghost is prompting you to do. It's always a good idea. And this I heard last Saturday night. Not yesterday, but a week ago, I heard the Holy Ghost say, "It's settled. It's settled." And we just started, you know, you could go 100 different ways with that. But I started with redemption. And I want to touch today, because it came up in my heart, to talk about the cross. And it's settled. Things in our redemption are settled because of the cross. Because of what? In redemption, Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In him we have redemption." I'm not going to have it, I have it. This is the revelation. You don't read any of this revelation in the Gospels. This was revelation what? Given to Paul in the epistles. It was held for that time. So none of the Old Testament prophets received that revelation, and neither did any of them in the Gospels. And so Paul received that revelation. And so when he said in him, he's talking about in Christ, we have redemption, what? Through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. So this is a great truth, and that redemption and the shedding of his blood happened where? On Calvary. And he shed blood where? At that whipping post. Because of his stripes, we are healed. So blood was shed there, and blood was shed on the cross. And so because of the cross, we have redemption. That shed blood. And so I wanted to touch on that. You know, when you settle something for you, when you say, "I'm settled," that means you've pondered something, you've meditated upon it, and you've established, you've made a decision about something. It's settled for you. But then in the heavenly realm, there's things that are settled, aren't there? What does Psalm 118:89 say? "Forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled in heaven." That means there's no way around it. It's settled. So our redemption is settled because of the blood. And so the things, it's been what? Determined. So when we look at that redemption, you know, just looking at this word redemption, it is all inclusive. It's not just the forgiveness of sins. So redemption covered our deliverance, our salvation, our deliverance, our healing. So God didn't go to he didn't send Jesus to the cross just to cover sin. Sickness was really the fruit of sin, you could say. So this thing that we have, this redemption that we have, we've been what? Delivered and made free. Hallelujah. And I like this in the Weymouth translation of Ephesians 1:7. He says, "It's in him and through the shedding of his blood that we have our," what? "Deliverance. The forgiveness of our offenses, so abundant was God's grace." And then there's another translation called the Barth, B-A-R-T-H, Barth translation. It says, "Through the shedding of his blood, we possess freedom in him." So we're free from the power of sin, We've been what? Delivered from the power of sin, delivered out of darkness, or from the what? The power of darkness. This is what Colossians 1:13 says. It says, who hath, he's still talking about Christ, who hath what? Delivered us. That's what redemption did. That's what the power of the cross did. It delivered us from the power of darkness. And did what? It translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And then it goes on to say, in whom what? We have what? Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And the Bible in basic English in Colossians 1:13 says, who hath what? Made us free from the power of evil and given us a place in the kingdom of his son, in the son of his love, in whom we have our salvation, the forgiveness of sins. So we've been delivered. We're free. We're a free people because of Christ's shed blood and what he did on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like this. This is the another translation in Colossians 1:13. I think I really like this. It's the Wade, W-A-D translation. And they'll put it up. It says, for God has rescued us from the dominance exercised by the powers of spiritual darkness. I'm free. He broke it. Hallelujah. He did what? He rescued us from that dominance and transferred us to the dominion of his son, the object of his love. That's why, you know, when we talk about taking our authority, we were crucified with Christ. We were buried with him. We were raised with him when he was raised. And now we're what? Seated with him in heavenly places. In him. So that's why the church is the only force in the world that can come against the devil and command him to back up. Because his dominance over us has been broken. He has no power over you or me. He has no power. It's been broken. We've been what? Delivered from his dominance. That's why when we read these stories where Brother Hagin back in the 30s, when death would grip his body, he'd say, you know, one in the morning, he's writing this like a little narrative. At one in the morning, I was there at a place ministering and death gripped my body. And he says, I just pulled the sheets over my head and began to laugh. And I'm thinking, really? Most of us today would be getting this out going 911. But it's interesting that today, because we have these things, has this replaced our faith? I'm not saying you don't call 911. I'm not implying that at all. But back then, they had no other way. They had no other choice but faith in God and faith in the name. So we need to think about that, because what happens? We can get lulled into a place of not using our faith. And then when something gets taken from you, or you have no other options, then it's like we're going back to faith 101 and we start using our faith, and sometimes it's too late. So we need to always be, what does the scripture say? 2 Corinthians 5:7, class, what does it say? We walk by faith and not by sight. That doesn't mean you don't go to doctors if you need them. That doesn't mean you don't get help if you need it. But what does Proverbs say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So even when you're dialing 911, you're looking on the inside. That's why I, you know, whatever comes my way, I'm looking on the inside for direction. You know, it was that little mishap that happened a couple of months ago in December. I'm working on a side of a building here up in Pennsylvania, and I'm on an extension ladder, and the ladder slipped. And I did a face plant from about 8 feet. Sure, they called 911. And I got up and they helped me into the ambulance, but I heard him speaking down here. There was no fear, no headache, no broken stuff, no concussion. Now, there was some fractures here, but they healed all up. No operation. And I'm speaking the word all the time. I'm speaking it, speaking it, speaking it. I wasn't putting my trust in them. I was putting my trust in God. If they wanted to do something, okay, then you do it if you felt you need to do it. But it healed all up and quickly. That's my point. My point is trust in him. Exercise your faith, because the devil's putting all the squeeze on and he's working through governments and people. And if we don't take our authority, he will push back on you and take your freedoms. And we need to take what God has given us and walk in it. Amen? Because he's been defeated. Colossians 2:13. I like this. This is 13, 14, 15 in the Passion Translation. I love this. See, his power has been broken because of the cross. This is the Passion Translation. It says, "This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins." Huh. Yeah. We're what? Forever alive. Verse 14. "He," meaning God, "canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation." It's canceled because of the what? The cross. "Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his." Hallelujah. That's why when you see in society, when they want to take God out of everything, when they want to remove a crucifix, when they want to remove any reference to Jesus, it's because of the cross. It's because of the blood. And the devil knows the power in it. He knows it, and he wants it removed. He doesn't want to be reminded that he's defeated. And he doesn't want the light of that shining in to hearts. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world, he's what? The God of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into them that are lost. He doesn't want any visuals, nothing. What's being pushed? Just junk, ungodly things. You know, I was sharing this with Pastor Greg recently. It just, I don't know, it was just something I was thinking about it. I said, why, when you look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it said, God made man in his image and likeness. And he made what? Male and female. Say male and female. There's two genders. And I said to Pastor Greg, I said, why is it there's such a push to affirm something that's not true? They want us, meaning the society, to affirm something that's not true. Because what does it do? It's a fight against truth. And when you remove truth from a society, anything goes. You break down the society. So when they fight and say, you call me a male or you call me a female, and you're not, you are basically saying something that's not true. I'm not doing it. I'm telling you right now. Not me. It's not being rude. It's being untrue. No. Some of us need to get a backbone, but just get stirred up and say, no, I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to do it in love. And I'm not going to call Susie when it's something else. I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, but I'm not. Because Jesus paid too much at the cross. He came here, as Romans said, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to do what? Defeat sin. He became all that sin is. For who? The world. Even the ones that are acting foolish because they don't know. And they want me to affirm something that Jesus paid for? No. Because if the church embraces it and does that, then what are you doing? You are relinquishing the power of the name of Jesus. And you're relinquishing your authority to come against the devil that's blinding people to this. Ooh, don't get me started. Because it's not talking about people and things. It's talking about what he did for me. And it's the church. What is the Great Commission? Go into all the world, preach the what? Preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved, and those that won't, it says they will be damned. They won't be saved. And then it says lay hands on the sick, and then do what? Cast out devils. Not embrace them. It means cast them out. That means, I like what Pastor Hagen does, kick them out. Right on out. Kick them out. Yeah. So all of the things that we're seeing in society are because the church is not unified. And the devil is going after the voice of the church. He wants your voice. And if you release words to embrace things with your voice, you're instead of coming against him, there'll be a fight. What happened to Paul? Yeah. He got hit every which way, right? Even when you get over to 2 Corinthians, he said, Lord, if there's just take this away from me. And what did he say? My grace is sufficient. So when you stand up for the truth, there's going to be some pushback. Because the devil does not want to let go of the ground that he's gained in people's minds. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have authority in Christ over sickness and disease and lack in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But 2 Corinthians 5, when you're looking at the cross, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, in the New Living Translation, says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And there's a little footnote after the word sin when it says he was made to be made the offering for our sin. The footnote says, or to become sin itself. He became sin itself in every facet of what it is for us so that we could be made right with God. So the power of the cross has done what? It set us free because of the shed blood. Hallelujah. This is another two different translations. One's called the Black Welder of 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, in our behalf, God identified him, meaning Christ, with everything in the whole realm of sin, in order that by trusting him, we might become recipients of God's kind of righteousness. But he became sin. In other words, the whole realm of it. And I like this. This is the Wood translation. I like that this expands on this. It says, think of it. Christ, the sinless, was made the personification of sin for us, in order that in union with him, we might become the very righteousness of God. So he became sin, the whole personification of sin. So what? That when I believed on him, I became the very righteousness of God. And why is this? Because of what he did on the cross, his shed blood. Romans 6:6 in the New Living Translation In Romans 6:6, it says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So we're free. In the Passion Translation of these verses, it says, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us. It's been dismantled. We're free. So that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. And then verse 7, it says, obviously a dead person is incapable of sinning. So we've been redeemed because of the blood. And it was through the cross that we've been redeemed. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. And we are now seated with him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Hallelujah. Let's look at the Passion Translation of Galatians 2:20. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the what? The nails of the cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. And it goes on, my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. That's why we can say, the greater one lives in me. Greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. Greater is he. Greater is he. When you don't feel greater, you need to say, remind yourself who's in you. Greater is he that is in me than what I'm facing. Hallelujah. Greater is he. And his new life, the essence of his new life, is in me and lives in me. Praise God. And we've been what? Redeemed, delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. And why is all of this? Because of the cross. Because of his shed blood. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:12 in the King James. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, you know, in Ephesians and Colossians says, in whom we have redemption. No, this is eternal redemption through his blood. And the blood was shed on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why, you know, when people make statements, that's why when they say, well, I'm just like this, you know, I say, well, then you need to get your soul renewed. Because faith works by love. I keep sharing this that, you know, we're all growing and maturing in the things of God. And I've shared this, you know, how many ever get to a place, you know, like let's say you play sports. Let's use an example. Let's say you play golf, right? Because I've heard this. Or you play sports. And you anybody who plays sports is what? They're competitive. And in order to be competitive, you have to do what? You got to get better. And you get to the place, if you were going to remain competitive, you do what? You go, I'm not satisfied with the level of my performance. That's why when sometimes I go back and, you know, when I have opportunity, I look at some of these clips that they had of Kobe Bryant and the hours and thousands of hours that he spent training and training and training and training, 3 o'clock in the morning, working his body because he was not satisfied. He wanted to get better and be the best. Well, God has provided us a way to be the best in him. He's made a way. It's his life now that's living in me. Now, how do we improve? How do we renew our mind? So then it's back to us. And we have to do what? Not be satisfied. We have to reach places in our life, look at ourselves and say, even if you're operating and you're getting results, you should be saying, you know what? I want more. I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm not satisfied with my faith. I'm not satisfied with my love. I'm not satisfied with things that God has paid for through Christ. I'm not satisfied. And that takes self-examination. That takes you looking at yourself in the mirror and going, you know what? I could do better. And not just passing it off and saying, well, you know, that's just the way I am. No, that's because you're not wanting to get better. You should want to improve and want to get better in walking in love. And that's why I shared about 4 years ago, I was not satisfied with my love walk. Because I knew faith works by love. So you can talk all you want about I'm going to be this mighty man or woman of faith, and if your love is not measuring up, neither will your faith. And so I began and I said, Lord, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13 every single day. And I started twice a day, morning when I woke up and evenings when I went to bed. I read it. And I did that every day, 365 days a year, every day, every day, every day, every day. And how many know that just like seed that you plant in the ground, it says, well, you don't see it pop up and grow, but it's first the blade, then the ear, and it starts growing. And so it takes some time to grow. It takes some effort. And yeah, you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to miss it. And that's not the time to go, oh, well, you know, this isn't working. No, you have to be determined and know that the word works. He watches over his word to bring it to pass. If you want a harvest of love, you got to sow it. You got to feed on it. If you want a harvest of faith, you got to plant it and sow it and meditate on it. And so, yeah, it took some time. Do I make mistakes? Sure, just like you do. Are there buttons that get pushed? Sure, just like you. Everybody's got a button. Some you have to push a little more, but yeah, you'll see it. But I began to find that the more I kept meditating and feeding on the Word of God and feeding on it, things that used to just poo, it didn't affect me the same. Yeah, you instead of just now all of a sudden, yeah, you something rising up and you go, no, I'm not going to say anything. Because now your soul is being renewed and the strength of the Word is growing now. And now instead of you responding, you're not responding. And so it's the same. And where did that start? I was not satisfied. I was not satisfied with my love walk. And you have to, you've got to start making some decisions, because God wants to use his body. He wants to use each one of us. And if you go back and you read these stories about Brother Hagin, they always said, oh, you talk about his great faith walk. They said, but his love walk was just as great. And people would just badmouth him, talk down at him. He would not comment. He wouldn't respond. And as somebody as visible as he was, there was a lot of trash talking. And he never responded. And so he walked in the love of God. And thus, his faith walk is what people saw. But they never were around him to see his love walk as much. And so I just share that because all of these benefits that we have are because of the blood of Jesus. It's our redemptive rights. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So with that, of course, you know, the scripture that comes to mind in Galatians 3:13 in the New Living Translation says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who was hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from it. And cursed, what does it say in the King James? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we're redeemed. We're a redeemed people because of the power of the cross. And as we walk through life, let's not forget it. You know, when we remember this weekend, the blood that was shed for our freedom in this natural realm, let's remember the blood that was shed for our spiritual freedom, our freedom in Christ, our freedom from the devil's power over me. He doesn't have the power to control me anymore. unless you do what? You yield to him. Unless you yield. And that's where the power of the word comes in. The more we meditate on it, the more we feed on it, his control in your life is less and less and less and less. Why? Because you're responding to the word. You're not responding to natural things. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. For the word of God is what? Quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing. This is Hebrews 4:12. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's put it up in the New Living. Because that's what the Word of God, I like this translation in the New Living. It says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and this is what I like, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. What does the Word? The Word of God. And that's why the more you keep meditating, even like with 1 Corinthians 13, the more you do, it begins to do what? Expose your innermost being. Begins to expose it. And he's trying to help us. He's trying to help us. If you yield, if you respond to him. Amen. Praise God. Well, say it's settled. My redemption is settled. And I was crucified with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. And now I'm seated with him in Christ. Hallelujah. And that is settled. That's settled. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. You say, that's my identity. That's my identity. That's who I am. Yeah. That's who I am. Praise God.